Whether you're in search of a great new bottle of wine or you want a rundown of the best brunch spots in the area, Mike and Stu have the answer. With a combined half century in the industry, they bring their wealth of experience to bring you the latest trends, expert opinions, and interviews with people in the know. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Oh, it's a wine and food show, Stu.
It's a food and wine show, trust me.
Look right here, it's Sip and Chew. It's wine and food.
Because Chew rhymes with Stew, that's the only reason.
Are you glorified fry cook?
Yeah, grape killer.
Now it's time to Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Somebody call the Homeland Security. We got us an invader in here. Who is you? What is your name?
I'm first class. I'm just first class.
I ain't first class.
Good morning.
But I ain't white trash.
There you go.
Wild and a little crazy, too.
H2O kind of day. I just got a text from a friend said H2O kind of day. That's the bar at the Golden Nugget.
Okay.
So, anywho.
Morning, Roy.
We'll see. But, I'm glad to be back. Thank y'all. I enjoyed myself. Had a great time.
Good.
God, the weather up there, man, it was 80 degrees high.
Yeah.
And not Colorado high, just Ohio high.
Ohio high, which is
and
the same thing.
80 degrees and dry air. It was 40% humidity, and it was amazing.
Yeah. And were they complaining about 40% being high?
Well, they said, it gets warm. And I said, warm? How warm? And the city is so flat. Well, parts of it flat.
Which city, for those
but
who don't
Cleveland.
Know. Cleveland, Mississippi?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, my, the big city.
But there's always a breeze, and I guess it comes off Erie, you know.
Yeah. Lake Erie.
It's a gentle breeze.
You have to remember, these folks.
Yeah, Lake Erie.
They don't know that you went to Cleveland, Ohio last week to visit.
No, I didn't tell them.
Well, yeah, but they may not know now. They may be just tuning in for the first
time. Oh, okay. First-time listeners, okay. Welcome, first-time listeners. But, yes, I went to Cleveland, Ohio to meet family. I just found out about 3 years ago, a little over 3 years ago, that I didn't know I had. And we got some poster board. We drew a big family tree. And now I know I have a better view.
Now it has branches.
How it had all happened.
Right.
And then my dad never said anything about these people up there. Mm-hmm. And, hell, he was named after his uncle that was in Cleveland. That's who he's named after. And it was four brothers, and they all had a bunch of big old families and spread out. And I just never knew about this one.
Well, in Ohio, they have big old families.
Well, they do up
but
there.
But in Mississippi and Alabama, we had great big old.
Great big old.
Great big old.
Big old.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we had a good time. And I got to eat at, I guess, Drew Carey's, one of Drew Carey's places, I think it's called Saul's Hot Dogs.
From the Drew Carey show, not one that he owns.
Right. Drew Carey show, because I think he would bring them into the, you know, into the skit and hand everybody one and on the show. And But it was fun.
And you are fascinated with local hot dog places, aren't you?
I love local hot dog places, yeah. But everything up there has a real German feel to it, the architecture. Really? Even though there's a lot of Polish influence up there as well. Pierogies, you know, everywhere.
Yeah.
And, it's just that.
Any of them with Konecka inside?
No.
Yeah.
No. They hadn't heard of Konecka. I was going to ship some up there, but I didn't want to mess up what they had planned.
Right.
And
you
it
didn't
was
want to bring
just,
a gift since they were
went,
putting up with
they
you
just went
week.
Way beyond what they should have with us. I mean, it was great, and it was
well, apparently
loving
when the family branched off and headed north, they took the hospitality with them because Mississippi is the hospitality state.
Yeah. Well, some of them now are living in Tennessee.
The volunteer state.
Yeah. And
Connecticut, the pudding state.
Because we had one of my cousins drive all the way up from Tennessee to be there for the weekend. So it was cool meeting all these people. And they were wonderful, warm, loving, hardworking
Americans.
Red-blooded Americans. They all are. And
people who are born in other countries, their blood is red too.
I know,
but they're not red-blooded Americans.
That's right.
Yeah, they're red-blooded Armenians or Zimbabweans.
Yeah.
Totally off of food, but I was really upset when I woke up yesterday and found out that Chadwick Boseman had passed away.
Yeah.
A phenomenal actor. Most people only know him as Black Panther, which he was remarkable and made a great influence on people. Mm-hmm. He's been a very positive role model for people. He played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42, turned around, and then starred in Get On Up as James Brown. Yeah. And he's done a good deal of the bio-documentary things and all that. Did he look like a man who was suffering from cancer in Endgame?
No.
And he kept it private. And he was a wonderful role model, and the world will miss Chadwick Boseman.
And that's sad because he was a great role model. And it's just goes to show, only the good die young.
And that's sad. Why we're still here.
Yeah, for me anyway. But my cousin who drove up from Tennessee, battling stage 4 prostate cancer. Yeah. And he drove all night to come up there and be with us. And you would never know. Yep. You'd never know that he was battling with that.
Yeah. So, but, you know, that kind of put a damper on my day yesterday because he was someone that I admired beyond just what he did on film. Mm-hmm. And it was sad. But he was noble to the very end. And Godspeed.
Godspeed.
Black Panther.
Yes.
All right. We got a number of callers coming in today.
We do today. I'm going to see one of them later today.
Good. And we would be remiss if we did not wish Renee's Honey Butter, the cottage out there on Cottage Hill Road, 1 year anniversary. Yesterday was their 1 year anniversary. This is a tough climate to make it in. So
yeah, if you can, it's like New York. If you can make it here, you can.
If you can make it during COVID, you can make it anywhere.
Anywhere.
Right? Any. I can't rhyme it. I can't rhyme that one.
It must upset you.
I will go home and consort my Roger's thesaurus when I get home.
So, anywho, but I had a great time. Hey, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, buddy. I saw James Brown's pantsuits up there.
His pants breeches.
That was cool. That was really cool.
Yeah, I would like to see the Rock Hall of Fame. You went to the Pro Football Hall of Fame as well.
Went there, too.
And then you said you'd seen everything. You went to the two things.
Yeah, and then I saw the house they filmed the Christmas Story in.
Yeah, okay.
Fragile.
That is you are far more enamored with that than most people.
I was, you know, my cousin said. Now he told me, he said, you know, the house that the movie was filmed in is up here, and it's a museum now, and they got a gift shop. And my brother would have really loved, because he was one of those, he had three boys, and growing up, come Christmas time, TV stayed on TBS because it ran back-to-back 24 hours a day during Christmas.
That's frightening.
And I've seen the movie all the way through, but I hadn't seen it from beginning to the end.
Yeah.
But after I went there, I'm just going, this is so cool. And they had big monitors throughout the gift shop with all the Christmas shows on, but one, I was upset they didn't have Die Hard on one of the monitors. So.
That is terrible.
That's my favorite Christmas movie.
Yeah, it is. It's his favorite Christmas movie, without a doubt.
I got a few people that battled me with that, and they're the same ones who don't believe pizza, you know, pizza shouldn't have pineapple on.
Well, they're right about the second one.
Well, I don't know about that. Yeah. Now, if you have pineapple on pizza, you shouldn't have Canadian bacon.
You shouldn't have Canadian bacon on pizza.
Right.
It doesn't taste good.
Put spam.
Pancetta.
Put spam.
Well, yeah, spam is always a winner. But pancetta is actually Italian bacon that's supposed to go on a pizza.
Mm-hmm.
Canadian bacon is not. Canadian bacon goes on Eggs Benedict or something.
Something like that.
Yeah. Which, not crazy about.
Mm.
Make
Eggs Benedict?
Hollandaise is warm mayonnaise, man. It's gross. But the rest of
it. I've made it from scratch. I'm impressed.
It's a pain in the neck to get mayonnaise that's room temperature. That's what it is.
You get those little mayonnaise packs.
There you go. Just throw it in the microwave for a few seconds. But I always do like a cream sauce or a cheese sauce on any kind of Benedict.
Cream sauce, I think.
Yeah, it's what Hollandaise wishes it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oddly enough, though, I do like béarnaise, which is Hollandaise and add a herb or two.
Yeah.
When we come back, we're going to talk with David Calametti. He's got big news concerning World Food Championships, and we're going to let him break it down for you. 343-0106. When he gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spoodyooty, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodyooty, drink wine, mop, mop, wine, spoodyooty, drink wine, mop, mop, pass that bottle to me, oh, drink it wine.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
We are back, and we're going to be joined here in a second with David Calametti with some news about World Food Championship.
I know him.
You do? He's, you know his brother Danny.
No, Danny.
Yeah, that's what it is.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, speaking of Danny, we saw him last weekend. I was saving this until you came back.
Mm-hmm.
The discussion. We went to the BCA barbecue cook-off. Heather and I were judges.
I hate I missed that.
Out at the grounds.
Right.
And it was very interesting. They had the judges spaced out.
Mm-hmm. Social distancing.
Right.
And they couldn't look on each other's notes.
Well, that's normal.
Copy.
Well, that's normal. Heather still cheated off of me. No, she did not cheat. No, she didn't. Okay. But they passed the box.
Mm-hmm.
Each table of judges got one box. You got one bite that you used a disposable fork to put on a disposable plate. Then you passed the box down. You tried your bite. You threw all that away. You started with a new plate, new fork.
Yeah.
Tried 13 chickens,
mm-hmm.
tried 13 ribs, and tried 13 briskets.
Woo-hoo.
And you have judged a cook-off or two, I mm-hmm. believe. And usually you have
to I know what I like.
Yeah, you have to wade through a lot of mediocrity to mm-hmm. get to the good stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Not at this competition. All 13 chickens.
Come on.
Good to fantastic. Same with the ribs. Same with the brisket. There was nothing you wanted to spit out.
Yeah.
And I've been to a gumbo cook-off where there were 37 entries, and 31 of them were inedible.
I've heard about that.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's not fun judging something like that. This was spectacular. And we're sitting there, and who walks up wearing a WFC Team Alabama shirt but Danny Calametti? So let's talk to David Calametti now.
Hey, good morning, David.
Morning, David.
Good morning, David.
We got you, David? Well, it shows that he's on the line.
David?
You hear me now?
Yeah, there we go.
Can you hear me now?
Were you muted?
That'd be a good. Hello?
Hello. Hello. We got you, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, I was there in the morning helping Deborah with her breakfast for her hall sausage breakfast that she put together. So.
If we didn't know that was going on, we'd have showed up sooner.
It was early.
oh, never mind.
it was, and I'm really excited about that because they really worked hard to put that contest together. So
well, that's good.
And they're really trying to establish a steak competition on the Gulf Coast and a barbecue grilling competition on the, you know, South Alabama has been overlooked or in terms of the barbecue circuit. So I'm excited for them trying to get that stuff put together.
Well, y'all contact the new mayor of Sims, Alabama, Brandon Van Hook, and see if you can't get something going. There's a lot of facilities out there that could host something.
Is it Loblolly Farm?
Yeah, that. Now they had a blues and barbecue festival planned in May, but you know, COVID wiped that out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did one there last October, I think.
Mm-hmm.
A barbecue or a grilling or a contest of some sort, maybe a SCA event.
Yeah, there's also a municipal park right around the corner from the house that I just discovered with a beautiful little pond and a huge green space where everyone could set up.
That's going to be the order of the day from now on.
Yeah.
So World Food Championships, to really no great surprise, I would expect. They announced, Mike McLeod announced on Friday that they were canceling the event for 2020. Mm. And it really became logistics. It's two things. One, the logistics of putting it together, they moved to the fairground, and so that gave them the room. But still, when you started thinking about you know, the thousands of competitors that come in from all over the world, and they were really pushing for spectators this year, so you're going to have all these people.
Right.
And it's a sport, but unlike the NBA, they can't really put them in a bubble. So the risk of people going out at night and cross-contaminating it just became too much. I think from a really from an ethical perspective, I think the WFC folks just said we just need to pull the plug. So they, rather than postpone it or reschedule, they just canceled it completely. It'll happen in 2021, the same dates. But what they are doing is they're throwing up some virtual competitions during that week in November 2020. So he's put $25,000 in the pot, and they're going to create some competitions for anyone who's registered for this year. If you're registered for this year and you want to retain your spot, it'll automatically move to 2021. If you want your money back, you need to do that before October 1st. The same goes to hotel. And if you've already booked a hotel, no penalties for cancellations. They'll give you money back for that as well. So the right call. A lot of people unhappy about it, sad about it. But
what can we do, right?
Yeah, it's the right call. So with Danny and I and Team Alabama, we're going to figure out how we can get the team to compete. We may throw up some Zoom competitions in October and try to, you know, we had, I think, a dozen people that already qualified. So we'll be doing some stuff with them. But, you know, looking on to 2021, McLeod wants a big crowd there this year. He was hoping to shooting for 40,000 people, which is about 36,000 more people than they had last year. but it's you know, it's the world we live in.
Right.
You know, it's the right call to make.
Yeah, I agree.
Just finished off a really good final table event, and they're now focused on 2021 as we are as well. We'll still be the state partner for Alabama. All of our golden tickets will carry forward, and we'll start planning some events as soon as we can figure out when the safe time to do
you can
stuff.
Have them again, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Now you went to the event in Dallas last year. What did you think?
We had a lot of people asking about Orange Beach. Mm-hmm. You know, they missed Alabama. They missed the Gulf being on the Gulf. They had some logistical issues. The parking was a major problem, but the event itself, because of the footprint, our positioning was really great. We were right outside the barbecue area, and right next to the competition arena. So we were in the center of things, and that was nice. There was not as many spectators as we would have expected, and they made some changes this year to fix that. One is they moved the competition. The initial competition to the weekend. So instead of your first cook on a Wednesday, first round competition started on Friday. And so, or we're scheduled to start on Friday. So that's going to be a good move.
Right.
And I think one of the things is Dallas and now moving to the fairgrounds, this conceivably could be home port for WFC for a long time to come. There's plenty of room to grow. You know, it's relatively easy to get to Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we'll...
And as entertainment districts go, Deep Ellum's not bad.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. I've been once and would like to go back. It is. It's very Dallas, but it's very cool too.
Well, and apparently the fairgrounds is very very Dallas as well. Very Texas as well.
Well, this is where the Texas State Fair goes on, right next to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I know the area. I've been to the Cotton Bowl. The stadium to see Oklahoma and Texas play, and experience the state fair and all of that, and it's a fantastic environment. Everyone's going to have to get a selfie with Big Tex.
Yep, exactly.
All right, David, we got to go to commercial, but thank you for calling in and giving us some information.
All right,
thanks a lot, Mike. We got a couple of texts to address before we go to break.
Yeah,
David Hubble said he was judging the event, BCA barbecue contest. He said he agrees as well that everyone there did a great job, what he calls grilling at the grounds, and I like that. That's a good name. And then Jim in Georgetown, those of you who don't know, Mobile County has a community called Georgetown. It's a suburb of Sims.
Right.
And he said that Southern Sounds will be at Loblolly in September 26th now. Okay. I believe that was what they were calling the Blues and Barbecue Festival. I hope so, because this, I mean, I can ride my bike to this place.
Yeah.
I won't, but I could if I felt so inclined.
Right.
But, so I want to thank David for calling in and updating us on World Food Championships. In our next break, we're going to have another friend of the show call in, and we're going to talk about something 180 degrees from food sport, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to talk some terrorist stuff.
And I want to thank Garen and his lovely wife for getting up early last Sunday morning and making that drive from over in South Baldwin County and coming and filling in for me. Thank you, Garen Allen, and your sweet wife, and hope you had a good time with Stu. And
yeah, they seemed to have fun. You know, he was comfortable behind the mic. Think about that. He was comfortable. Mm. He was there. He was comfy.
I watched the first 15 minutes of it, but y'all didn't even know. Y'all didn't even recognize that I was on there. Now, it may have been
delayed. Had you on the phone. How could we not recognize you were on there? 343-0106. When we come back, we're going to talk with Tony Sawyer from Bob's Downtown Diner.
What's this? This is juice. Uh-oh.
I don't like juice.
Chicken, ice cream, fish.
I like ice cream.
What's this?
This is juice. Uh-oh.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike over here shaking his groove thing. Hey, Mike, we're back from the commercial.
I still got my groove thing.
You keep it in the glove compartment of your SUV out there?
I keep it in the second drawer. So
would that be a Glock groove thing?
I don't talk about my guns. It's America. I don't have to say anything. Anyway.
I have a .38 special police fire issue.
Okay.
From 1958, and it's never been fired.
Wow.
That's going to change.
You got one silver bullet?
No. I have 5,000 .38 special bullets. But that's going to change soon. A buddy of mine, you know, when my father passed, you know, he was, man, it'd be really cool because he had a very close relationship with my father. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just like to have it. And he said, and it's real cool that you have one that matches it. So one of these days we're going to take him out to the firing range and responsibly discharge our firearms.
There you go.
But right now, right now, we're going to bring on Tony Sawyer from Bob's Downtown Diner.
We're going to do it responsibly.
Hey, guys. Good morning. How are y'all?
Because he is taking responsibility where it's not necessary. And why? Because this man has a kind heart.
He does have a kind heart.
What are you doing, Tony?
Now. Thank you.
What you got cooking, literally?
Bacon, eggs, grit, French toast, corned beef hash. You know,
pork belly.
Pork belly.
Yeah. You
How are you guys doing today?
Just fine. You've been organizing something. On the down low on the Facebook, and some of our listeners may be able to help you, so I wanted you to come on and tell people what you're doing and how they can help.
Well, you know, living here in Hurricane Alley is what they call this. We've all been affected by hurricanes in our past, and I just thought that, you know, that hurricane that came through over in the Lake Charles, Louisiana area, a lot of those folks come this way to vacation. And I think we need to show our support from Mobile to those folks. So I've started collecting water, toiletries, and other food and other things that those folks might be able to use that have been displaced from their home. And I got U-Haul to give me a 26-foot truck so that we could load up. A 26-foot truck so that we could load up. Did I say that twice or
what? Yeah, but that's fine.
It was so nice you said it twice.
So I would really like to load this truck up with as much stuff as we possibly can and maybe tear out of here on Wednesday sometime and head over Lake Charles and give that stuff away to those folks in need. What do you think?
I think it's a brilliant idea, and I would like to suggest, because this does get overlooked a lot of times, pet food. Dog food and cat food, just basic stuff.
Oh,
that
wow.
is something that people
yeah,
seem
that'd
to forget.
Yeah.
Another thing, too, is is keeping your feet dry. So
wool socks.
Keep your feet warm and dry. I mean, your wet feet can get you sick real quick.
Yeah.
And that and toiletries.
Yeah, like you said.
Yeah, deodorant, toothpaste.
Hygiene items.
Yeah, any canned goods or just?
Oh, sure. Yeah, heck yeah, man, whatever. Whatever we could use, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Cash is another thing, you know, or gift cards.
You know, I've had some people drop off some cash here at the restaurant. What I'm going to do with that is I'm just going to go to Sam's and whatever cash is there, just go buy some stuff and load it up in the truck, too.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying, too, about gift cards. You know, if you do $25, $50 gift cards and just they can get what they need.
And here's where national chains actually come in, you know, because they may displace, but, you know, there's – I hate to say it, but there's an Olive Garden just about every town.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that'd be great if they would do that, just show their support. You know, I would like to see some more business owners around here pitch in and try help out, too, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure you'll see it. That's why I wanted to bring you on the show so that we could really, you know, get it beyond just, you know, Facebook and get it out there to people who maybe don't do social media, so they're missing your efforts. If people want to chip in, what do they need to do?
You know, go to the store, go to Sam's, go to Costco, wherever you can, and get a 24-pack of water, some dog food, cat food, like you said, would work, canned goods. It really doesn't matter. Anything that we can supply these folks with, like I said, that have been displaced from their homes, and I'm sure there's many of them over there that, you know, we just need to show some love for Mobile. I think so.
Yeah, we're all neighbors.
Absolutely.
And none of us are immune from hurricanes.
None
of us.
Yeah, there'll be a time when they're bailing us out too.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so when they get these items, can they drop by Bob's? Do you have another place to drop off?
Well, yeah, I mean, they can drop them off here at Bob's. Mike over at Pat's Downtown also has reached out to some people, too. So if you're unable to get down here before 3 o'clock, you can always go over to Pat's Downtown right next to Heroes down here and drop some stuff off there, too. So we're going to work together on this, on filling this truck up. Hopefully we've got to get another truck or a trailer to hook up to it. And take. I'd like to fill it up. I mean, it is a 26-foot truck, so we could get a whole house in there. So just think about how much product we could get in there.
Yeah. Mike, donate a house.
Huh?
Donate a house. Clearly, we only help one family then, but boy, do we really help that family.
And who's going to donate that?
You.
Yeah.
Well, you're not using a house. You have an apartment. All right, Tony, we want to thank you for coming on. And if somebody wants to get a really good breakfast in town, what would you suggest, especially if they're in the downtown area? You got
to that's tough right there to tell you. But there's this place on the corner of Fat and Happy they can go to. It's called Bob's Downtown Restaurant. They have some red umbrellas outside, so you can actually sit outside and get a good breakfast.
It's a beautiful people sitting out there.
Well, we appreciate you calling in, Tony, and as always, we appreciate everything you do for this and other communities, sir.
Well, gentlemen, thank y'all very much for allowing me to come on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Tony.
Anytime.
All right, y'all have a great day. Provolone.
Provolone, buddy. Y'all say provolone last week?
I did. Garen did right after the mics went off. He went, oh, yeah, provolone. I had...
You got somebody else talking on the text line?
Somebody, yeah, someone's... Oh, yeah, I recognize that number. It's up to you, dear. I can come home, get you, and we can go to Bob's Downtown down there.
Or she could come here and pick you up.
I got the truck.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we'll leave the van at home. Every mile I save on that van is a mile that it gets me to and from work.
Oh, okay.
So,
hey, I was going to tell you, on my visit up there.
To Cleveland, Ohio.
To Cleveland, Ohio.
On the banks of Lake
My cousin
Erie.
Took me to, I think it was called Saul's.
You said that, the hot dog place.
Yeah. Did I tell you about it already?
Yeah, you spent 10 minutes on it.
Okay, but I still remember it because what was funny, all the restaurants up there, they had clear shower curtains between every booth.
That's
how they did it.
Very cool.
I'd like
to see some of that stuff. You know what place was designed with social distancing in mind?
What's that?
It's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
There's that.
Yeah. All those booths with that. I mean, if you can afford it. Mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, some that's people sit down there soaking up an extra $600 a week.
That's already social distance to me because I can't afford it. Couldn't afford it.
In the next segment, when we come back, I want to hear more about your trip to Cleveland. Is there any more, or should I not?
You know, it was.
There's something. I will pick you. I will interview you about your trip.
Okay.
Yeah, Cleveland from a redneck's point of view is what I'm going for. Yeah, but yeah, because I got some questions I can throw at you.
Okay.
But the barbecue competition.
Mm-hmm.
13 really good briskets.
Well, see, I want to hear about that.
Well, you just did. 13 really good briskets. 13 really
good. Hate I miss it, but I wouldn't have missed going to Cleveland for the for anything in the world.
Yeah, you just go to the barbecue contest next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't meet your family for the first time annually.
Well, we planned this months and months and months ago.
Yeah.
And I'd already bought my tickets and my cousin.
Oh, man, just think, if you'd have waited, you could have saved so much money.
My cousin was going to get on our plane in Charleston because we were meeting up in Atlanta, Hartsfield Airport.
Of course, because when you die and go to heaven, you got to make a stop in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's right. And so you got to go through Atlanta, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they were they had problems with their plane she was getting on. And I said, well, what's the problem? She said, well, the fuel was leaking out of it.
So that's a problem.
There's a problem right there. So she finally got there, but we did get to we did get to fly back together. And the problem was, though, we were sitting by the darn engine, and we couldn't hear, hardly talk to each other. So
I bet everyone else was happy about that. You don't talk when you get on the plane. You take a nap. I think when we flew to L.A., you remember, you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was out before we got airborne.
Yeah, we slept. We went out there and back.
I sleep on a plane. Mm-hmm. I mean, usually it's – I get in and put my seatbelt on, and I'm out.
Look, we got our plane, because she missed her flight from Atlanta there.
Yeah.
But I was on a 320, Airbus 320. Mm-hmm. Those seats were wider.
Comfortable.
The aisles were wider.
Mm-hmm.
But the bathroom was so tight. No. And that's when I realized I got to lose weight. This is crazy. I was like, my shoulder, elbows were almost touching. It was just tight in there.
Tight.
Maybe that's where they took up all the space that was in the bathroom.
Yeah. Why didn't you go to the bathroom before you got on the plane?
I did. I don't know.
Stop drinking. It was 7 o'clock in the morning.
I tell you what, when I left
the coffee,
my house,
what does that?
When I left my house.
You never drink coffee when you're flying.
At 3 in the morning to go to the airport.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful, spectacular lightning show going on. And it was just everywhere. It started one end of Mobile County, and just you could see it just crackling across the skies. Beautiful. I didn't think we'd ever land, though. We had to circle the city about 3 times. We just couldn't. It was windy and cloudy, and we kept going under the clouds and back up in the clouds and back under the clouds. And
I thought, that's fun.
Jesus Christ, are we going to land or not?
I was flying from Mobile to Nashville. Had a connection in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
And it was storming in Birmingham, and you could actually feel the tail end of the plane skidding around like a car does on wet pavement.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
Yeah.
Lots of drops. It was one of the best roller coaster rides I've been on. And when landed, and the pilot said, I'm sorry, that was a little bumpy, but the weather turned bad, and we got you here, and everyone started applauding because they did a fantastic job of not killing us.
Well, we had to come in sideways the other day.
Oh, that's cool.
To Mobile, because, you know, I love watching the videos of those planes coming in sideways.
Oh, you're talking about that one airstrip, like in Ibiza or someplace?
It's in Argentina. It's one of the windiest places on Earth, and they send pilots down there to train them.
Mm-hmm.
To fly against the wind to land. And you're sideways until you the tires hit, and then they turn it real quick.
All right. Folks, got one more segment, 343-0106, if you want to text or call or ask me if I'll take you to breakfast.
That tastes all right. And you might think the South Carolinians are just a little bit off. Would you believe their barbecue's yellow?
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Ridiculous, Mike.
it made pretty awful. He made all kind of sense to me.
Okay. Michael LeBron Bailey.
Oh, God, don't do that. Do
you were just in Cleveland.
I was.
Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
Home of Drew Carey.
Yeah.
Home of Michael Simon.
That's right.
Home of Michael Ruhlman.
Who's that?
Food writer that he ghostwrites or helps write most of Michael Simon's cookbooks.
Oh.
A number of other people. Wrote a great book called The Training of a Chef, I believe, where he audited classes at CIA.
Oh, okay.
And went through 6 months of the culinary school to see what it's like. And it's a brilliant book. But Michael is one of the most respected food authors on the planet today.
Hmm.
And he was speaking at a symposium of families, and they were talking about why people don't cook anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about, well, you know, with everything we've got going on with the kids and working on that, we just don't have time. When they got to him, he said, that's BS.
Mm.
He said, every one of you has to. And BS, he used the full phrase.
Yeah.
He said, every one of you that said that is lying.
Yeah.
He said, we all have 24 hours in a day. What we do with them is a choice.
Right.
Not, he said, working a 12-hour shift is a choice. You don't have to. You can get a different job.
Yeah.
And he said, so, no, there's no such thing as we don't have time to cook for our family. Lazy. He said, I don't care if you're lazy. I don't care if you'd rather garden. Doesn't matter what it is. It's a choice.
Yeah.
No one doesn't have time.
I made time for Boy Scouting for 12 years.
Yeah.
I made time. I found time. Yeah. I made time.
Yeah. So you can make time to cook dinner.
Yeah.
And that was his point. And from Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
The river did not catch on fire while you were there, did it?
No, it didn't.
Because
it was. Was it supposed to?
It did.
I've heard about it.
Yeah. Was it beautiful? Was it clear?
It was really nice. Clear skies.
No, I mean the river.
Oh, we didn't go.
Oh, okay. Well,
we didn't get that far.
Okay.
We didn't get that. We drove by Lake Erie. And when we were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it's right on the water.
Was that your first Great Lake, or had you been in Chicago?
I've been through Erie. Okay. Coming back from Hammondsport, New York, I said, I want to go this way. Mm-hmm. So we went through Pennsylvania and Erie, and we were going to get on I-65 to come down back to Mobile.
Yeah.
And
avoid Gary, Indiana.
Okay.
That's where that's the other end of I-65 from Mobile.
So we drove through Cleveland, and had I known I had family there then, I would have
stopped
by.
Yeah.
But then again, I was within 50 miles of Niagara Falls and didn't realize it and missed that opportunity right there. And not only that, the ice wine growing region for ice wine up there.
It's in upstate New York, correct?
Well, it's right across the Niagara Falls. Mm. It's in Niagara.
Okay.
And it's on both sides, and they make some of the, like Enniskillen, they make some of the world's most expensive and world's highly rated ice wines.
And for those who don't know, ice wine is?
Ice wines, they leave, it's late harvest, they leave these particular grapes. As a matter of fact, it's the same grape that Mr. Edens makes Magnolia Springs wine with, so it is a high quality wine. For those who think otherwise about Perdido Vineyards,
oh, it's good stuff.
Oh yeah, they leave it on the vines late harvest. They cover the vines with nets to keep the birds and raccoons and all that out, because they're sitting there and they're drying up like prunes or like raisins.
Wow.
And then they go in at 4 a.m. in the morning when it's freezing.
As opposed to 4 a.m. in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the grapes are solid frozen on the vine, and they pick them off, and then they press them. And out of that, they get the smallest amount of little nectar, sweet, pure, sweet nectar out of that grape, and they make wine out of it. And it's very sweet. You can only should only drink, for an aperitif or dessert, you should only drink 2 ounces. It's not – you don't sit there and pour yourself a whole glass of wine. That's why these things are in small bottles.
I just put
375
a baby bottle tip on the bottle and went to town.
It's not for drinking like that.
Now, my experience with ice wine is it tastes like really good grape juice. It doesn't taste like wine at all.
It's sweet.
Yeah, it's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not what you're looking for if tannins are your thing.
Right, right. Right. This is made for, I would do like flaky pastries and stuff. You don't want to put that something that sweet with sweet or too sweet anyway.
Yeah. Now, next question. Did you go by the Cleveland Browns Stadium?
Yes, we drove right by it.
Okay. Oh, you just drove by it? You didn't look at
well,
it?
Well, it's right there by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Okay.
It's all right there on the waterfront. And
what did you think?
It's a nice-looking stadium.
Yeah, because, you know, football is getting cranked up here. We had a game yesterday. College football was played in the state of Alabama yesterday.
Where?
Montgomery.
Who?
Central Arkansas and UAB, I believe.
I didn't know that.
Yep. It was on ESPN. Thursday night on ESPN, the ace, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be a college football game between the South Alabama Jaguars and the University of Southern Mississippi Golden Eagles over in Hattiesburg.
I did watch St. Paul's and who they played? Was it Spanish Fort?
Yeah, that sounds
played
right.
On ESPN Friday night.
And the game they should have been at, turned out to be Mobile Christian ending UMS Wright's 30-something game win streak
with an
overtime thriller.
Wow.
Yeah. 1-point game. I think it was 25-24.
Wow. Speaking of thriller.
And I think it was overtime.
Speaking of thriller at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you saw.
They had Michael Jackson's glove on display.
Here's the thing about Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is that it's interesting to see what people go see, because I would have passed by Michael Jackson's glove and went, oh, cool, Michael Jackson's glove. But that was something you wanted to see.
Well, everything. A lot of it went back to the 50s, you know.
When rock and roll was invented.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, 1948.
And that's the whole thing with that. But they had artists from Alabama in there that are not – they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they're not
– members. They're
members
not
of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I think
they had Brittany from Alabama Shakes, her. Mm-hmm. They had a big picture of her with her guitar. They had Don Felder's double neck guitar that he did the Hotel California riff with, but he's not. I don't think he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame
as a solo artist. No.
Yeah, I don't even think he's with the Eagles in there. He should be.
Yeah,
but I mean, it was just amazing.
It's interesting to see because the first thing that I thought when David Hubbell saw that you had checked in there, and I said, I bet the first thing he does is go see Bruce Springsteen. Who shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame, shouldn't have a career. He can't sing. His musics are terrible.
I'm not a fan, so I don't. I just
but there are other people that the boss is who they want to see.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, his little 4 foot two-ness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Here's the other thing, too. I noticed a lot of the artists are small. They're real small people. They're
Ronnie James Dio is like 5'2", seriously. He is very short. A friend of mine rode on an elevator with him at the NAMBLA in L.A., which is this big rock thing. And she was stunned because she was like 5'6", and she towered over Ronnie James Dio. And for those who don't know, he replaced Ozzy Osbourne as lead singer.
What I love, they had a guitar display, and it was empty. It says, on loan to the artist. The artist was Eric Clapton. Hey, can I borrow my guitar? I thought that was cool.
At any point, did they show the big jam session at the induction when they were all playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps and Prince took the solo and everyone else backed off and let him have
it? I don't remember that. But
oh, it was
It was a great trip. I recommend it highly, especially the Football Hall of Fame. They got football cards that go back to 1800s in there. Yeah. You can't take a picture of them, though.
Yeah, but what you can do is tell them, provolone.
Provolone, folks. Support local below.
Yeah, they all know that.
I get so tired. Working all day.